Is this the news? According to me. Yeah, here we are. This is the first attempt. Numero uno attempt. To do a video podcast. Which isn't going to be really any different than the... I mean, you can watch me, you know, do my thing here in front of the camera, but for the most part, it's going to be just like the audio, because I have a pretty high volume. This is kind of like the EIB cam kind of thing. It's not that it's anything like that, but it's like that. So it's I'm still doing the audio version of the show because I realize most people are listening. They're not watching. So you're just, you know, this has the option, because I could post my show, I could post my audio show as a video on Rumble, but I'm kind of anticipating this to be a live broadcast, because eventually, supposedly, hopefully, Rumble will eventually someday be able to live stream. And at that point, or maybe some other platform, or maybe I'll just come up with my own platform to do something live. But in the meantime, I don't know of any live stream platforms out there for podcasting that are really, shall I say, popular, that I could get on that would make any sense. And I could do it on YouTube, but I'm done with YouTube. I was shadow banned before shadow ban was a thing. And so I'm just done with that. The big news today is that I'm drinking apple cider again. Apple cider. It's smooth. There was a time when you could only get apple cider in the fall. With this modern world in which we live now, well, you could get apple juice, but you couldn't get apple cider. Now, you get apple cider. So our sponsor today is apple cider. The big news, I think the thing that everybody's talking about right now, everybody I've seen online right now is, the big thing is, I talked about the Derek Chauvin trial earlier today on the early show, which I don't know if I've actually even posted or not yet. Did I even post that show? Probably not. Should be getting around to that. I've got some pretty slow internet here, and I'm pretty sure that, let me check here and see if it's been done. Where did it go? Yeah, it's gone. Somewhere here, there's a thing. The thing, like, oh, there it is. Now let's see what the most recent episode is here. We get view episodes. Let's see what we got here. We got 144. Yeah, I think I've done 145. Pretty sure that we've got, we're missing something there. Let's just check over here in this. You can watch me as I'm doing this. Those of you watching the video, you get to see me do all this. It's like you're right here in my booth with me. Isn't it? Except you can't smell me, which is probably a good thing. Maybe, I don't know. I'm looking at my files here now that I've got a million. This is actually the 146th episode. I have yet to post the 145th episode because I am a slacker. And I had a lot going on today, so I have not had a chance to do that. Now, if I could just post it and be done with it, that'd be nice. But my internet right now is so slow, I cannot do that. So I have to transfer it. It's actually easiest for me to pick it up on my iPad. I put it on my iCloud. I just let it upload there. And then I go to my iPad, which is extremely fast all the time. I do all my stuff on the, I'll explain it all someday. And then you'll understand what's going on. For those of you watching the video, you get to watch all kinds of gyrations that you don't get to see on my audio podcast. So that, you know, hopefully you guys can, you know, you can see all the strangeness, crazy strangeness that goes on here. And you'll be able to, you know, fulfill your, get a much fuller experience of the news according to me. In the meantime, which I don't know, I'm trying to do this, two things at the same time, and hopefully my computer should be able to keep up with this. I paid about $340,000 for this computer, so hopefully it's fast enough to both video and audio in two different programs at the same time. So that's what I'm working on. The big news is the gun control thing, and I think Joe Biden, as I understand it, has come out with his little stuff. I don't know. Now, I know Jen Pacircleback Psaki has, she's, you know, I think she's holding a press conference, I believe. And I was going to try to find the actual news. Where was it here? I had some news. That's not it. This is six executive orders, I guess. That's what I'm hearing is coming out. That's what I've heard. So let's take a look and see if I can look this stuff up and we can just all read it together. Six executive actions on guns, including ghost gun regulations, model red flag legislation. President Biden on Thursday unveiled six executive actions intended to address what his administration calls the current gun violence public health epidemic facing America. Included among the actions were forthcoming regulations on so-called ghost guns. Now, let's talk about this for a minute, because Joe probably thinks that a ghost gun is a gun that you use to shoot ghosts with. My understanding is he was appointing some... I think he's screwed up again. How many of you have ever heard of the Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, and Tobacco? The AFT. That's what Joe's calling it. I think Joe meant to say the ATF. Maybe there is an AFT. I don't know. But he said it several times. So the question is, did somebody type it wrong into the teleprompter? Or does he just not even know what he's talking about? He's coming out with this. I guarantee you. Do you think that Joe got up this morning and said, I've been working on this all night long, and I was up late last night. I've been working on this for days on my legislation and my opinion on gun control. What we need to do to curb gun violence in this country. Now, you gotta remember, these gun control nuts seem to think that we have an epidemic in this country, gun violence. Now, keep in mind, there are 320-some million people, I think, in this country that we know of. There are probably more than that, because there's about 60 million that we don't know about. So there's probably a lot more people than we think. But it just, because the estimates on undocumented individuals in this country are anywhere from 12 million to 37 million. Some have even said, there's some outlying estimations out there that it goes up to almost 60 million. Now, I don't know about that. But, you know, it could be possible. I'm not saying it isn't. When you stop and think about the population of some of the biggest cities in the country here, Chicago, Detroit, New York, LA, Atlanta, some very large cities here, folks, and Miami. I don't mean to leave anybody out, but there's a lot of big cities. The list could go on and on. I could read this for 30 minutes. You know, many of them with populations upwards of a million or more. at least in the surrounding, at least not necessarily proper, like Chicago proper. I'm not sure. I think Chicago proper is close to a million. And you got the outlying area. The county is definitely over a million. Cook County. Just for one example. And you got LA or Orange County, whatever it is. I don't know. So the numbers of people, they don't like to talk about per capita numbers. So you have to realize the UK, the United Kingdom, that's England and everybody, you know, that's not just England. That's, you know, that's not just British. That's everybody. That's the whole United Kingdom is, I believe, around 60 million, maybe 60 in the mid 60s, right around there somewhere. Australia, just under 30 million. We have 10 times the population here that they do in Australia. And they talk about, oh, well, there's not that much gun crime. There's only, you know, so many shootings a day. There's to have 10 times less shootings there than they do here. Or they'll say 5 times less. We have 5 times more shootings. Well, we have 10 times more people. I mean, they play with these kind of numbers all day long. And then they'll include numbers of shootings that other countries don't. Like, let's say they'll, I think that they even include in some of these numbers, especially the radical gun nuts, the gun control nuts, will include police shootings. So if a police officer shoots someone, that's considered a shooting in our country. At least according to them, that they include all that stuff. If it doesn't happen, if it happens in another country, they don't include that as a shooting. Interesting stuff. Yeah, it's and the, you know, the way they'll say, well, you know, gun violence, they don't talk about murders, because the murder per capita is not necessarily, I mean, it's, they just, let's just say this. I've said all that to say this. They play with the numbers. And they know exactly what they're doing with that. I mean, it's so slanted that it is obviously deliberate what they're doing. That's what I'm getting at. They are deliberately twisting the numbers. This isn't just, oh, well, this is the way we always look at numbers. It's not, there's no science here. You know, the people who are always crying, science! This is what they do. Just like the fact checkers right now on Facebook and all the other, you know, the Twitters and all the other tweeters and twatters and all the silly social stuff out there. All these fact checkers. Oh, this is rich too. I got to tell you about this. Just heard about this yesterday. But all these fact checkers out there, I'll get to it. Don't worry. Just a minute. Are saying that basically if you post information directly from the CDC or the World Health Organization, if it does not meet the narrative that they're trying to portray, they will actually nick you for that. They will fact check it and say, that's not true. Not true. And they just, and you have no recourse. You're just done. They'll just pull your thing, or they'll, you know, your post will be gone. Or they'll ban you. And then what are you going to say? I guess I can't. It's like, oh, look, looks like I'm wearing a mask now because I can't talk. So the next thing you can say is, there's no recourse there. What are you going to do? Take them to court and they're going to say, well, your terms of service say this. And you signed on to it. You checked a little box. Clarence Thomas had a really interesting take on that as well. He said, yes, it is a private organization, but it is a, you can say, well, you could go to some other social media site because it's, you know, it's a private organization. It's a private company. You signed on to it. Therefore you have choices. You don't have to have that as your, he made some very good points on that whole argument. And basically, if they continue to go down the road they're going down, if the Supreme Court is able to maintain a semblance of real law and order, which we're teetering on the edge of whether or not there's going to be any kind of reasonable objectivity within the sense of the SCOTUS, because I'm thinking that at some point, as soon as they can get the court stacked and start rotating judges in, we are going to see basically just another social organization, social justice organization. It's not going to be about law and order. It's not going to be about interpreting law. It's going to be about interpreting social engineering, according to their little faux synthetic moral law. But getting back to this whole thing on, what was I going to talk about? There was something else I was going to talk about. I was going to get back to it. Yeah. Somebody call in and remind me. How about that? 574-742-6748. You can call or text the show. I probably won't answer because you're not hearing this right now. When we go live, you will be able to hear it. I will be able to hear you. You'll be able to see me take a call online. Live. Won't that be fun? That'll be exciting. So, right now we are, Jojo, as I like to call him, our buddy that occupies the White House, he has come out now and he's got this gun legislation stuff going on. And he has something called the ghost gun. I think this is probably going to be the most ridiculous thing in the whole. I haven't really had a chance because it just came out, and I haven't really had a chance to really look at much of the stuff that's actually come out. I guess I could go to this article and probably read it, if that's what you want me to do. Because, you know, you're paying such good money for this show that I probably just owe it to you, don't I? I owe you something. So let's see how long it takes I just clicked on the clicker. See how long it takes my internet here, my slow internet, to come up with this thing. Because, you know, you get what you pay for with this show. And just keep that in mind. Look at your bank statement and see how much you paid for the subscription to this channel. And you'll understand why. That's what you'll understand. So, here we go. We got the whole article here. I think I'm going to be able to get before they start sending me pop-up and stuff. Ghost guns. Because those are the makeshift weapons which can be assembled at home or that lack a serial number. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Also, this red flag law thing. That's kind of it's a little bit of an edgy thing, too. Not a little bit. It is a lot of an edgy bit thing. Where that could go. The actions come nearly 80 days into Biden's presidency. Now, remember, he had promised to do a whole bunch of stuff within the first 80 days, or first 100 days, I should say. There's also going to be some kind of council that he hasn't talked about at all, about the Supreme Court, that was going to be in the first 100 days. So whether or not there is some kind of thing coming out now, I would expect in the next month to 2 months that the Supreme Court announcement, they're going to start talking about the Supreme Court. You may even see a particular judge retire before too long so that they can do something with this whole thing. But I'm not sure about that. The actions come nearly 80 days into Biden's presidency, despite the president's longstanding intent to initiate gun reform and pressure from gun control advocates to enact measures to restrict firearm access earlier. They've been putting pressure on him since he stepped into office. They wanted him to day one. They wanted these. Of course, during the campaign trail, he said, "I'm not going to do anything against the Constitution." That's what he said. But of course, he said a lot of things like true international pressure. In his rollout of the actions, the administration cited a spate. They're really going to use those words. A spate of recent mass shootings as an impetus. Well, it's concomitantly very contraindicated by the pseudobulbar effect. So the recent high-profile shootings, mass shootings in Boulder, I'm not going to talk about Chicago. More people died in Chicago last weekend than died in Boulder, by the way. Taking the lives of 10 individuals, and Atlanta, taking the lives of 8 individuals, including 6 Asian-American women, underscored the relentlessness of this epidemic, reads a news release issued by the White House. So they issued a news release. The first action directs the Department of Justice to issue a rule to help stop the proliferation of gun ghosts. it's a ghost that floats around. It's a gun. Within 30 days. Now, let's talk about what a ghost gun is. Now, I don't know what his definition of, I'm assuming his definition of a ghost gun is you can purchase something called a lower for a rifle. Now, when we're talking very few, extremely few shootings, and even mass shootings are done with long guns. Even where they have long guns on them, they typically use their handguns. Not that either one should be banned, but I'm just saying, going after long guns is a bad idea. It will not make a dent in the violence issues. Most crimes, including the shootings in Chicago, are done with handguns. But this ghost gun thing is primarily, in fact, I'm not even aware of any ghost gun kit available with the that's available in a handgun form. Maybe there is. It probably is, like 1911s or something. I don't know. I haven't even looked into it. I'm not that interested in it. Because even though I'm a gun enthusiast, I'm not going to, well, and I do have some interest. I mean, I would be interested, but I got to apply for a permit and all this stuff. It's if I had my FFL, my federal firearms license, and I could do machining and gunsmithing on my own, which I think it'd be fun to do that, but I think I'd probably will wait until I'm retired or semi-retired. I'm tired right now. I'm always tired. Probably drink too much sugar, but I digress. If I had a license like that, I would probably, it'd be fun to build a gun. It'd be a fun project. I mean, I've got a small machine shop. I could probably take the lower, which has basically, that's the receiver. So you have the part that the magazine goes into, and also the part that everything kind of fits into, the barrel and all that stuff kind of fits around that. It's the part that helps the bullet. It's where everything kind of happens. So you got to make all the little parts inside. You got to get a machine holes at just the right spot, or else the thing won't even work. Most guys that get those kits, they get the lower, and then you have to do your own machining. It's kind of like a casting or a part that you have to machine yourself and get everything done right. If you don't do it right, it's worthless. A lot of times you get 5 of them, and as you work your way through and you make your mistakes, by the time you get to the 5th one, maybe you can get it done. And it takes most guys. It's not like, you're going to build a gun in 5 minutes and then take it out. You're mad at somebody, so you're enraged and you're going to go on a shooting spree. So you go in your machine shop and you get one of these and you start putting it together. Just a minute. I'll be right there. Now, just give me a couple more days. I'll get this. Yeah, I should have this done by the end of the month. You just wait, buddy. I'll be out there by next year sometime. Okay. Yeah, I screwed that one up. Okay, give me a couple of years. I'll be out there. I'll get you. I said, it's not going to happen that way. Now, the thing is, they say that these guns can be built and then they have no serial number. Well, that's an illegal gun. You're not going to get away from that at all. Okay, there are people out there. Now, not only can these kits be purchased, you can purchase the lower. I could get a block of metal and machine my own lower from a piece of metal. As long as there's metal and machines, You can make that kind of thing if you have the knowledge and expertise. We're not talking about people here who are just, you know, I mean, maybe there's people out there making these and selling them. I don't know. Selling them in the black market. There's probably a market for it, especially in the drug world. But that being said, this takes some serious work. Your common average everyday criminal, let alone me, I want to get a gun and go out and plink around with it. I don't want to, I think it would be a fun project to work on, take a year and build a gun, you know, build the whole thing and put it together and know how it works and have the accomplishment of pulling the trigger and seeing if it blows up in your face. I think that'd be a blast. Get it? Be a blast. But it's not necessarily something that I think the average guy out there is going to do. This is very, very small percentage of people here that are going to do this kind of thing. So the whole ghost gun thing is a farce, and it's an attempt to have some kind of legislation. I guarantee you, how many mass shootings do you know of that were done with ghost guns? Let's just go there. So this ghost gun thing, let's just put it in perspective. How many crimes would be averted by making ghost guns illegal? Go ahead, I'm waiting. Figure out that number. I don't know what the CDC has said or what the FBI's numbers are on that. I guarantee you it's pretty small. Pretty small number of people there. We're experiencing a growing problem. Criminals are buying kits containing nearly all of the components. Criminals, I don't know what criminals they are. Components and directions for finishing a firearm within as little as 30 minutes. No. I don't think so. 30 minutes and using these firearms to commit crimes. The news release stated. Please direct me to the study and the FBI report for this. When these firearms turn up at a crime scene, they often cannot be traced by law enforcement due to the lack of serial number. So these guns are showing up at a crime scene. But, you know, of course, the guns just walks right in to the crime scene because guns kill people. People don't kill people. Guns kill people. They come into the crime scene, and then they stay there after the crime is committed. And they can't tell who, they can't trace them. You don't know where they came from because they have no serial number. Much like the people coming across the border. We can't trace them. We just let them go. We don't know where they came from. Don't know anything about them. Don't know whether they even got COVID or not. They just got 100,000 people crossing the border. Whoops. Let them through. Not concerned about them at all, but they have the deadly coronavirus. Because, you know, as you know, Corona is coming for you this summer. Wear your mask just when you thought it was safe to go outside. Wave number 4. Yeah, that's what we got going on right now. So, they don't care about that. Somehow at the border, somehow that doesn't matter because we have to be, you know, compassionate. Of course, now we're hearing about all this. There's a whole bunch of news about the molestation of children now at the facilities. Now we're hearing about that, but that's okay because we're being compassionate, we're treating them with dignity. Locking them up with perverts. Now it's just not children in cages, it's perverts in cages. Under the second action, the DOJ is commissioned to issue a rule. Quote, make clear when a device marketed as a stabilizing brace effectively turns into turns a pistol into a short-barreled rifle, subject to the requirements of the National Firearms Act. Because heaven forbid we should have a short-barreled rifle rather than a handgun. Because this, you know, that bullet is now going to travel. I guess it's going to be more deadly. Now, you could argue that putting a stock on a firearm, a handgun, makes it more stable and you can shoot, you know, more accurately at a longer distance. You could say that. You could also say that a person who practices with their sidearm could be just as effective as a person who has a stock on their pistol. I mean, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, the ability to conceal a gun, if you walk in someplace and you got a big stock on your sidearm, that's a little harder to conceal. It's a little bit harder to be, you know, covert with that situation. Just saying. So I'm not exactly sure how many crimes, again, we get back to the whole question of, okay, how many crimes are we going to stop because people are putting stocks on their shoulder stocks on their pistols? Is this a thing? I just don't see it. I don't see it in any crime scenes. I don't see how many crimes is 5% of the crime? Or do they have a percentage here? Do they have any kind of reports? Was it used once and now we got to somehow ban? I don't care about this because I wouldn't use one. The only thing I could see, of course, they're concerned about the AR pistol. Now I have a Caltech 6, Caltech 223 pistol. Shoots a 223 bullet, which is the same thing that the AR-15 shoots. Most AR-15s. So it is a pistol. It has a big magazine, goes in it, and shoots 223. What they're concerned about is people putting a stock on that, and now you have a short-barreled rifle, right? So what? Explain to me how, I guess, you can also put a three-point harness on, or even just any kind of a harness. It's just a strap. If you pull that out and push against it, it now gives you the stability of a stock. Almost, I mean, it's within, you know, 90% the same stability. Maybe I shouldn't tell anybody that because now they're going to ban those as well. But it's just a sling. It's just a, you know, it's just a thing that you can hang your gun off your shoulder with. But if you pull that up and have it adjusted properly, it can give you stability when you go to shoot and you can shoot more accurately. And that's the point, isn't it? So you don't fire bullets all over the place when you're trying to shoot someone who's attacking you. Trying to be accurate. Just a thought. So this is what we're in for. We've got these knuckleheads that don't think about this kind of stuff. And they don't give us any kind of, it's just legislation to make legislation. And it's, unfortunately, it bleeds over because what they do is they get stuff like this in and then they can weasel this kind of legislation into all kinds of areas of our gun life. And it's just ridiculous. In the third action, Biden directs the DOJ to publish model red flag legislation. This is a little bit spooky to me. It's a well-intended thing, and we need to do something about this, but I don't like where they're going with this. It allows a family member, friend, or member of law enforcement to petition the court to temporarily bar a troubled or dangerous individual from accessing a gun. The administration suggested that the model legislation could act as a stand-in until Congress and state legislatures pass permanent red flag legislation of their own. In other words, this is somewhere they want to go with this. So this is it's the red flag law. Now I'll explain it here in just a minute. I guess that's the end of that part of the paragraph. What the red flag legislation basically, it's very subjective. And that's what concerns me. Because at what point do you deem someone dangerous? Now, we just saw a very good example of this after January 6th. Anyone who attended, actually, anyone who was a Trump supporter, was an insurrectionist and a white supremacist. You are a danger to our democracy. So you see where they're going with that? Well, you're a conservative, so you're a danger to our democracy. We need to take your guns away. You have a very dangerous ideology because you believe that the founders were the founders. And you quote them a lot. And they talked about watering the tree of liberty with the blood of patriots. Therefore, you're a danger, and we need to take your guns away. And what is this? You know, what is the petition here that we're talking about? We're talking about a friend. So anyone here? Let's look at this a little bit more. A family member, friend, or member of law enforcement. So if I tick off my neighbor, or my neighbor is a leftist anti-gun nut and knows that I have a small arsenal and wants that gone, because, you know, I'm a danger to him, I guess. I don't know. What is my recourse? Is it my word against his, and do I have to take some? All of a sudden, I have to take some kind of a test. This is dangerous. This is a dangerous slippery slope. They're over there having a Bible study. I'm pretty sure they're a bunch of right wing crazy nuts. Gonna take away their guns. Without committing any crimes. This is where it gets dangerous. And now there are people out there that we could probably preemptively possibly stop. And how do you do that? Now, again, how many crimes will be stopped because of this legislation? How many crimes are committed? Because, of course, anybody who does a crazy, wacky shooting was unstable and shouldn't have guns. Duh. But we're in the process of a pre-crime society. How many people's guns are going to be taken away who would never have committed a crime? Are we really only going to save the ones that, because they're going to have this legislation and somebody, okay, now we have these red flag laws and people's guns are going to be taken away. And then you got to fight like crazy to get them back, if you can even get them back. There's a lot of records of different government situations like that right after the hurricane hit Louisiana at one point, New Orleans. Down, some guys were going across the lake, like a deposit train or something, and had their guns with them. The county sheriff pulled them over in a boat and said, "We got to take all your guns." So the local ordinance, the mayor has basically, or the mayor, governor, somebody said, "Got to take all the guns away. Nobody can have any guns." County sheriff down in that area he came right out in a news report and said, "We're taking all the guns. Nobody can have a gun." Here you are in a situation where the cops can't get to you, can't protect you, and they're going to take your guns away. Okay. And then some people had their guns taken. The people in this boat, this one report was this people with this boat, they had their long guns with them, all taken away. I think 7 or 8 rifles. And, they weren't out to shoot anybody or out to go hunting people or out to, attack the government or the temple of democracy. Weren't out to do that. They were just there to protect themselves. Took their guns away. So they petitioned to get them back. once the whole thing was over. Didn't get it back. Can't even find them. Don't know what happened to them. And of course, they got compensated for them. Not. They're just gone. Probably a couple $1,000 worth of guns. Gone. And no recourse. What are you going to do? You're going to fight that? They're going to put it in court for 50 years and you're going to be, you know, hire a lawyer for $20,000 to get that done? Or to not get it done? I mean, what are you going to get when you get done? You're going to get compensation for your rifle, for your family heirloom? The shotgun that your grandpa gave you? How are you going to get that back? So it's just one of those things that they're pulling this kind of stuff, and it gets dangerous because we don't know when we're going to get, you know, you don't know when you're going to get this stuff back. You don't know when, you know. It's spooky stuff. And you know, you got a family member that's mad at you. You got a police officer that's got a vendetta, you know, or something that's just after you. And of course they won't, you know, of course there are certain classes that are protected, as we've talked about before, that they won't go after them, but they'll go after the one class of individuals in this country that's not getting any protections. No special rights for you because you're the problem. You know, if they have special protected rights for all kinds of other groups, you're a protected group now. All these other protected groups, everybody's a protected group except for one group, not protected. All you've got is the Constitution and your Bill of Rights. And that was written by racists. So therefore, we know what you are. Yeah. In a world. Yeah. The fourth and fifth actions, respectively, outline investments in community violence interventions. Yeah. And direct the DOJ to publish an annual report on firearms trafficking. Lastly, the sixth action, Biden announces his intention to nominate David Chipman, a gun reform advocate, to serve as director of the BFT. Now, I'm saying that it's not in the printing here, but that's the way he said it in his speech. David Chipman, over at the BFT. The BFT over there, Bureau of Firearms and Tobacco. It's the BATF, by the way. I think he called it TAF. TAF. Is that what we call it? AFT? Whatever you call it. He got the letters mixed up. It's just three letters, Joe. ATF. BATF, if you want to call it that. It's just the ATF. That's what we all know it as. Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And I think there's a new thing now. It's a BATF something else. I don't know what it's being called, something else. It's like the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Bombs or something. I don't know what it is. Explosives, maybe. BATFE. I guess maybe that's what it is. A key agency in gun law enforcement. So, David Chipman. No idea who he is. With the rollout of the new actions, it appears the Biden administration is trying to toe the line. The administration likely hopes the measures will temporarily satisfy Democratic lawmakers in Congress and progressive activists who have been relentless in their calls for stricter gun laws. But the new actions don't go anywhere near as far as expected based on the promises Biden made during his presidential campaign. As a candidate, Biden pledged that on day one of his presidency, he would reinstate the gun ban, the ban on assault weapons. Pretty much, if you use any weapon to assault someone, that's an assault weapon. If you use a knife, a pair of scissors, a piece of tape, that's an assault weapon because you've committed an assault with it. That's what makes it an assault weapon. I've got a paper clip here. It's a pen. If I assault you with this pen, it's an assault pen. There you go. You can't see it if you're not watching me on video. You can't tell I'm making it bend. So we have launch a voluntary, he said, he, this is what he said he was going to do, launch a voluntary buyback program and close a litany of supposed background check loopholes, among other actions. So that's what he's planning on. Now, I guarantee you, we haven't gotten through our first year with this guy yet. So, you know, we're only into like day 80 of this guy's administration. I'm surprised he's made it this long, frankly. But I really believe that before the end of the year, Joe is going to be out of the office. I really do believe that. His speech has become so slurred now that even people on the left are starting to notice that there are some serious issues with the slurring of his words. He sounds more drunk. He sounds more drunk than, I digress. The president made remarks about the new gun control initiatives during a speech within the White House. Speech in the White House Rose Garden Thursday afternoon, in which he called gun violence in America a public health crisis and an international embarrassment. So here we go again. We're running ourselves down. And then when China comes up to negotiate things about real atrocities in their country, there's, well, but you guys are racist in your country. You have Black Lives Matter pointing out the atrocities, the inhumanity and the crimes against humanity in your own country. So you shouldn't be pointing the finger at us. It comes back to bite them. And they come out with this stuff. And they're saying this kind of thing again. It's an international embarrassment that we have such gun crime here. No, it's not. Yeah, people are so embarrassed about it that they're still breaking down the fence to try to get in here. That's how bad it is. Yeah. He also characterized Thursday's executive actions as important first steps, but called on Congress to do more through the legislative process. They can do it right now. They've offered plenty of thoughts and prayers, members of Congress, but they have passed not a single federal law to reduce gun violence, he said. Enough prayers, time for some action, he added. So when there's a thing like this and the president comes out and says, our thoughts and prayers are with the families.
We can't do that anymore. We got to stop this.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. When you continue to pull out and undermine the moral fiber of our nation and come up with some kind of a faux synthetic replacement of morality that is based on self-righteous virtue, and you cease to enforce laws that you are sworn to uphold and defend, well, I wonder what's going to happen with that. What could possibly go wrong? There are enough gun laws on the books right now to stop these crimes. They just need to be enforced. And everybody who's a law-abiding gun owner and citizen who wants to just protect themselves. And see, this gets back to the whole thing of, I hear politicians all the time coming out and saying, well, Republican, we need to stand up. We need to stand up to this. And exactly how do you propose we stand up to this? They're undermining all of the channels, all the ability that we have to do that. And they themselves were saying before the election, and all these riots were breaking out. They were saying this. I think it might have been Martin Luther King that said this. Riots are the voice of the unheard. That's what we saw on January 6th. We saw people who were unheard and felt like they had no other option but to march in there and let their opinions be heard. Now, this has happened before. During if you think back to the Clarence Thomas, not Clarence Thomas, what's it called? The Kavanaugh hearings, the SCOTUS hearings for Kavanaugh. Even for Gorsuch. But for Kavanaugh, they were ridiculous. They were out of control. People were protesting in Nancy Pelosi's office. They let them in. There was, and it was very well organized. Don't kid yourself. This was all organized. They bussed people in. They were bringing them in from all over the place to protest this thing. It was all representative of what they were doing. So don't think for a minute this was an NGO. This was a non-government organization that was helping to organize all this stuff. People like the Tides Foundation and Acorn-like type style deals. We're all behind that because people don't just, yeah. So having said all of that, this is my, I'm going to try to keep these under an hour, especially with the video happening. Now, when I start doing live broadcasts, it'll be real interesting to see how this all works because it's going to be primarily, and hopefully I'll get some callers because then we can have some discussions and do those kinds of things, which I think would be really fun, especially if someone calls and cusses me out. That'll be fun. I can push this little button. You're gone. But hopefully we can have some really good discussions and some interaction with people. And right now you can call the show. You can leave a message. I might answer. You never know. But I probably will let you leave a message, and I'll probably just either play that message, or you can leave a text as well. It's at 574-742-6748. You can text the show. You can also find that in the show notes. If you find, and you can subscribe to the channel. You can share the channel. I appreciate anything that you guys do like that. Just to listen to the show, and I just appreciate you taking the time to listen to my opinions on stuff. And I'd like for you to be able to share your opinion as well and have a discussion. Now, keep in mind, this is a commercial-free, non-edited show. Just rambles on, sometimes what seemed like forever. And you can share your opinions. But, you know, most shows have a, here's how most shows go. Say, it looks like Sean Hannity. First 10 minutes. Well, first, you know, they have the news at the top of the hour. If you listen to him on the radio, you have the news at the top of the hour. It usually runs over till 5 minutes or so into the hour. And then it comes on with this, "Well, we're coming to your city." You got that whole song that you got to sing, the whole thing. And then, so that's the bumper music. Then they have these clips of people talking. And they'll have, you know, like a whole 5 minutes of just people just talking and different clips, stupid things people say and on both sides of the aisle. So now you're about 10 minutes into the show, 10 minutes into the hour, and you have yet to hear Sean Hannity talk at all. Now, I like Sean. It's not a problem with the guy. I can listen to the first half hour of his show, and that's all the rest of it's going to be the same thing. And usually, when you know, the thing that I think irritates me more than anything about Sean is that he gets somebody on the show, and somebody calls him or calls in, or he has a guest on the show. He has a lot of guests on the show. And typically, he asks them a question, then he proceeds to answer the question for them. He rarely is quiet enough, long enough for them to actually answer a question. And he has to bring up, you know, at some point during the show, he's going to bring up Hillary Clinton, bleach bit, hitting phones with hammers. What else does he talk about? It's the same things, you know, rehashed every show. And he'll, you know, he'll come up with some talking points and he just continues to repeat those. And when somebody calls, when he has a guest talking, then he'll continue to bring those things up again. And it's just, I'm not telling him how to do it. The guy's obviously making millions of dollars and he's much more successful than I am. If you want to measure success that way, just saying. And here I am sitting here drinking apple cider. I never seen him drink apple cider on his show. Now that's success right there, if you tell me, if you ask me. So, but you know, you get this whole show. You got 3 hours of content here in 1 hour. Actually, you get 1 hour of content in 3 hours with some of those shows, some of the 3-hour radio shows. That's what I'm trying to say. And so that's where I'm going with this, is that I would, you know, it'd be fun to have somebody call in and talk. So, but I digress, because now it's been an hour and I haven't said a thing. So hopefully, you know, we can figure out a way to maneuver and navigate all this stuff without having to break out into some kind of crazy revolution. I still believe there's hope for this nation. I still believe we have a path to restore this nation to a constitutional representative republic, one in which we have a defense of our individual liberties, regardless of your race, color, creed, that you have the ability to be all you can be, and a true understanding of capitalism, not the phony corporatist crony capitalism that we have currently in the, on both sides of the aisle in an incredible amount. So we continue to pray. We'll pray for the nation. We'll pray for our leaders, and we'll pray for wisdom going forward, and that the truth will be heard and restored in our nation. It's not going to happen through QAnon. So don't even go there. There's not some big bunch of people out there that are getting ready to pounce on everybody, all the bad people. It's nowhere in Scripture. It doesn't happen that way. We are the ones we're looking for. So we need to stand up and make it right. And get involved. Write your senators, congressmen. Let them know you're not putting up with this crap. And we'll, you know, maybe have to primary some people. Maybe you need to step up. Yeah, that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? So I bid you adieu. And I hope that you can continue to move forward with hope and all those things. God bless everybody. Have a great day.